As we are moving through the list of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we come to two words that are very, very similar, kindness and goodness. And as I was reading and preparing, I discovered that a good number of pastors who preach on this will combine those two. And I started to do that, and then I began to dig a little bit more, and I decided, no, I'm going to separate them, because even though they're very similar, goodness and kindness, there are some differences. So next week we'll deal with goodness, but today we're going to talk about kindness. Now the Greek word for kindness is krestates, and in the King James Version it is rendered by our word gentleness, gentleness. Now here is another interesting use of the word. It's used to describe old wine that has been made mellow by age. And here's another interesting use of that same word. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy." So we're collecting some nice synonyms here about what this word means. Kind, gentle, mellow, easy. They kind of paint a picture of a person's personality. A kind, gentle, mellow, easy person. Do you know anybody like that? If you know anybody like that, you probably would say they're very pleasant to be around, aren't they? It's nice to be around people who are kind and gentle in this world that can be just the opposite. We should all work on our krestates just a little bit so that we're all a little bit more kind. That's a great goal. Okay, I'll make that my assignment for me. You can ignore it if you wish. But there's something else about this word that I want us to note. When you dig into the literal meanings of these Greek words, you often come up with surprises. When this word is applied to people, it reflects more than one's personality. It reflects one's character, one's moral integrity, one's moral excellence. Biblically speaking, a person of moral integrity is a person with a gentle touch. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness, also gentleness. As a result of your moral integrity. It's an outgrowth of your moral integrity. Furthermore, it works like this. Someone who displays that type of kindness is someone, and this is key, who seeks to meet the real needs of real people. That's the biblical meaning of this type of kindness. A person who seeks to meet the real needs of real people in a kind and a gentle way. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody in this church, if every Christian that we know, if everybody in the world would have some more moral integrity, and the outgrowth of that would be to meet the real needs of real people in kind and gentle ways. That is what the church should be. That is what a healthy church does. That is what a good Christian should be and does. In Acts 20, verse 35, Paul said this, "In everything I did, I showed you that we must help the weak." Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than it is to receive." That is the type of moral integrity that Paul had in mind. That is the type of kindness that defines a healthy body of believers. Acts of kindness, meeting the real needs of real people. But of course, sometimes that doesn't work out the way you want it to. I heard about a woman who was standing at a bus stop one morning, and she saw a very shabbily dressed guy there, and a man came up to him and whispered in his ear and gave him some money. He said, thank you. She watched it and she thought, what a lovely act of kindness to him. It inspired her, so she went to him and she took out $10 and she handed it to him and she whispered in his ear, never despair. Never despair. It made her whole day go better. The next day she was back at the same bus stop and there was that same guy again. But this time he came up to her and he handed her $110. She said, what is this? He said, you won, lady. Never despair came in, 10-1. Now, I cannot guarantee you that your acts of kindness will yield 10-1 results, at least on this side of heaven. In fact, it might cost you something. It might even be sacrificial, the kindness that we're talking about. But I can promise you this, that when you get to heaven, it'll be worth more than 10-1. You won't be able to count the blessings. Whatever you do in acts of kindness here on earth are going to be stars in your crown. The fruit of kindness is love in action, meeting the real needs of real people. Jesus did that over and over again. And today I want to deal with one story in his life that demonstrates how he showed acts of kindness. It's Luke 8, found in Luke 8, and it begins in verse 30. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. That was a real need. And how much more specific could Jairus be when he planned for Jesus to come to his house and to come to heal his daughter? Sometimes we are faced with the real needs of people because they let us know. Face to face. Special request. Specific needs. But let's keep reading. Before Jesus could even respond to Jairus, it says, as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. She also had a real need, but unlike Jairus, she was timid. She didn't come forth and tell him her need. She stayed in the background. You know what? I have seen some of us be like a Jairus, and I have seen some of us be like that woman. I have seen some of us who are more than willing to say, would you pray for me? Because I have seen some of us just afraid to speak up, timid. I mean, I've asked some of you to stand up here and read scripture, and some of you have said, oh, I can't do that. I'm too afraid. That's okay. God made you that way. So get healed and come on up here. Sometimes we're not confronted face to face with someone's need. Sometimes we have to be discerning. We have to listen. We have to watch. That's what Jesus did. He was discerning. Verse 45. Who touched me? Jesus asked. I would love to have been there at that moment. The crowd stopped. Wasn't me. Wasn't me. Who touched me? They must have thought something was wrong when they all denied it. Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. Can you imagine how hard this was for her? In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Now, before we continue with this story, I want to notice something important. It says Jesus was on his way somewhere. We don't know where he was going. We don't know why he was going there, but he obviously had an agenda. And he was interrupted twice. Jairus and this woman, they interrupted him. How well do you deal with interruptions in life? Do you respond to them with kindness and gentleness? Or do you react to them with impatience? Jesus stopped his own agenda and listened. He listened to both of them. Listening can be a true act of kindness. Chuck Swindoll shared a story in his book, Stress Fractures. I love the title of that book, Stress Fractures. He said he found himself at one point in his life with too many commitments in too few days, and he got nervous and he got tense about all of it. Have you ever felt that way? I have been there and done that so many times. Right, honey? Right, Judy? Right, RB? Chuck Swindoll then in his book confessed this. He said, I was snapping at my wife and our children, choking down my food at mealtimes, and feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions through the day. Before long, things around our home started reflecting the patter of my hurry-up style. It was becoming unbearable. I distinctly remember after supper one evening the words of our younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that had happened to her at school that day. And she began hurriedly, Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast. Well, that got my attention. I suddenly realized her frustration, and I answered, Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly. I will never forget her reply. She said, Then, Daddy, please listen slowly. Please listen. Listen to me. There's a huge lesson in that little girl's comment for me and for all of us. Please listen to me. There's a huge lesson for us in the response of our Lord Jesus Christ to those two people who interrupted them. He knew what we all need to remember. Sometimes interruptions are from God. Oh, I don't like saying that because I have to live these things too. Sometimes interruptions are from God. Back to Luke 8, verse 49. Oh my gosh. Lo and behold, here comes a third interruption. While Jesus was still speaking to the woman, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead, he said. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, Don't be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed. Brothers and sisters, the rudest interruption that can come to us is when someone comes to us and tells us that a loved one has died. I imagine all of you have experienced it. It's like a cold bucket of water with ice in it thrown on your face. Someone you love has died. It is at that moment that our faith is tested. Regardless of the depth of your faith, of the maturity of your faith, there is a fear associated with death that we know we should not have. But death can cause us to either have a panicky fear or a healthy fear, depending on the circumstances at the time. The next time this happens to you, listen to the words of Jesus to Jairus. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, as I prepared those words to share with you this morning, I stopped and I prayed And I said, God, please don't let anyone in our family of covenant fellowship have to face those words this week. But it's in his hands, isn't it? Verse 51, when Jesus arrived at the house of Jairus, all the people were wailing and moaning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She is not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand, and he said, my child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Not only is that revealing his divine power over the universe, but it is an expression of his kindness, because he was meeting the real need of real people with gentleness. You may not have the ability to do such dramatic things and life-changing things like that in your life, but you do have the ability to make a difference in the lives of other people through the fruit of kindness, because kindness changes lives. I want to say more about that, but first, here's another thing that we could say about Jesus' display of kindness. It was personal. It was face-to-face. We live in a world that is becoming far more impersonal than it is personal. We delude ourselves in thinking that with our electronic connectivity, we are more connected to other people than ever before. No, we're not. Can you remember going to a gas station and talking to a live person? Can you remember calling on the telephone for help and talking to a live person and not a computerized voice? Can you imagine calling 911 and getting a computerized voice that says, if your emergency is an accident, press 1. If your emergency is a burglary, press 2. If the burglar is in your house, press 3. If the burglar has a gun, press 4 quickly. Could you imagine that? We live in a world like that. I think we are more connected today in the sense that we have more information about one another. But we have substituted information for intimacy. You texters, you emailers, real people have real needs, and the best sort of kindness we can show to one another is kindness with skin on it. We may need to do more than send a quick email to somebody. We may need to do more than send a text message to somebody. We may need to do more than write a note to somebody. We may need to do more than send flowers to somebody. We may need to stop what we're doing in our agenda, interrupt our day, and actually go to somebody's house the way Jesus did to Jairus. Are you aware of the fact that Steve and Alice Bowen have voluntarily started going to people's homes in this congregation to minister kindness to people? That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, Alice. Tell Steve we thank him as well. They're not the only ones, but they've made it a ministry. Now, with all that in mind, we come to a dilemma. I'm going to read you a few words from a familiar passage that we've already heard today in Romans 3. In this passage, Paul used the same Greek word, krestates. Romans 3, beginning in verse 10, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good. Krestates. Not even one. We're told that one of the fruits of the Spirit is kindness in the sense of meeting the real needs of real people, doing good, and then we're told that nobody does good. How do we deal with that? That is a dilemma. Brothers and sisters, if we were still living under the Old Testament, we would still be told to be kind. We would still be instructed to meet the real needs of real people, but we would fail the way we still do, because there is no one who perfectly obeys God's divine instructions, Old Testament or New Testament. Thank God that we live under the grace of the New Testament. There is a Redeemer. Thank God. Thank God that He has clearly demonstrated for us what this fruit of kindness is in His Son, Jesus Christ. He gave you the Spirit of truth. He gave you the Spirit of love. He gave you the Spirit of grace. He gave you the Spirit of kindness. And when we live under the control of His Holy Spirit, we will exhibit that type of kindness to real people with real needs. Perfectly? No. But inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know this. Listen. You know this. All believers have God in their hearts, but not all believers have given their hearts to God. Which are you? I'm going to close with a story. I said I wanted to talk more about the fact that kindness changes lives. To do that, I want to tell you about Catherine Laws. She was the wife of Lewis Laws. Lewis became famous in the early 1900s as the warden of the notorious Sing Sing Correctional Institute. Warden after warden had failed at Sing Sing. In fact, 9 wardens in 8 years left that position. But Lewis Laws succeeded. And in fact, he stayed in that job for 21 years. His philosophy was this: no human being is unredeemable. He treated the inmates with compassion, with respect, and with kindness. He turned what was described as a, quote, old hellhole, end quote, into a modern prison with sports teams, educational programs, new forms of discipline, and more. He became a celebrity in his day because of his kind treatment of those criminals. Books were written about him. In fact, there's a biography called Miracle at Sing Sing. He was featured on the cover of Time magazine in 1929. Celebrities of the day praised him for his work, including such people as Harry Houdini, Babe Ruth, and Charlie Chaplin. He even arranged for the New York Yankees to come into the prison walls and play an exhibition game with the prisoners. But as I said, I wanted to tell you about Catherine Laws, his wife. Once a reporter asked Lewis about his great successes at Sing Sing, and this was his reply: I owe it all to my wonderful wife, Catherine, who is buried just outside these walls. Everyone had warned Catherine not to even go inside those walls. But both Lewis and Catherine and their children decided to live at Sing Sing, just outside those walls, and every day they visited those inmates in the prison, every day. Catherine said this to a reporter. She said, "My husband and I are going to take care of these men, and I believe they will take care of me. I don't have a worry." When the first prison basketball game happened in the gymnasium, Catherine Laws walked in with her little children on her arm, and came in and sat in the bleachers with those hardened criminals and enjoyed the game, jaws dropped all over the room. She discovered a convicted murderer in the prison who was blind. She visited him, and she took his hand, and she said, "Do you know Braille?" And he said, "What is that?" She taught him to read. She discovered an inmate who was deaf and mute. So she learned sign language, and she taught it to him. She lived a life of meeting the real needs of real people. Christates, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, kindness. And those people around her grew to admire her, to respect her, to love her. On October 31, 1937, her car broke down on a bridge, the Bear Mountain Bridge that goes over the Hudson River. She had to walk somewhere to get help, and the heel of her shoe caught in the wooden planks of the bridge and broke off, and it caused her to fall and stumble, and she broke her leg. And they found her there later that night, having died of hypothermia. The next morning, the terrible news of her death spread throughout the prison, and all of those prisoners were in tremendous grief. And the following day, her body was lying in a casket in her home, which was 3/4 of a mile away from the prison walls. The acting warden that morning was making his rounds, and he was shocked when he approached the gate and he saw there a huge gathering of hardened criminals standing at the gate, weeping. And he turned to those men and he said, "All right, men, you can go. Just be sure to check in tonight." And with the permission of Lewis Laws, he unlocked the main gate of that prison, and a slow procession of 1,000 inmates walked less than a mile and stood outside the house to pay respect to Catherine Laws. And every one of them checked back in that night. Every one of them, even though no guards went with them. The kindness that Catherine and her husband showed those men changed their hearts forever. Let's pray. Lord, it is so sobering to understand your kindness, the Holy Spirit, fruit of kindness, and all the missed opportunities that we have, Lord, to express kindness, even to those whom we know and like and love, much less to those we do not know or do not like or do not love. Oh God, the choir sang, "I have decided to follow you, Jesus. No turning back." We say we are committed to you, Lord. Lord, help us show that through our acts of kindness in this world, in this life, because of Jesus and in his name. Amen.